hope your day is going extremely well and that you don't look like this guy. Put him on. In case someone missed, there he is. What a great looking dude. Anyway, his name is is Galligan, Solomon Galligan. He punched a woman outside the Denver County Courthouse. And even though he punched her, she feels bad for him. She's a special needs teacher. And she said, oh, it's so horrible. People are calling him a zombie. I've seen him. I've seen him when he's medicated and he's beautiful. I know he's been in and out of foster homes. He's mentally ill. So why are we not helping him? And then she got punched. And she still thinks this. And he's molesting and kidnapping children in Aurora County in Colorado. And this woman just, she can't see anything bad in him. She just wants to nurture and look after and help him. Even though he punched her.
Yeah. It's funny.
You know, sometimes people can't pick up when something's bad. Yeah. Like you just don't have the, you've grown up in a way where you just never, you never encountered any ugliness. You genuinely think naively that all people are good.
People prey on those people though.
Well, look at this dude. Yeah. Again, show the picture. You don't have to be a special needs teacher to pick up that this guy is special and you should stay the hell away from him. But the woman who he attacked can't even bring herself to just have him locked away in a mental facility or put to death. If he's trying to kidnap children and he's attacking random women, he should just be put to death. Mm. I don't think there's any way you can help someone who's that fucked. He's fucked.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Which brings us to a topic which I know is going to get us into some trouble this morning, but we've got to talk about it. So,
I know, we were doing so well.
I know, we were doing so well. So Quillette, which is a very good publication I sometimes read, has been, well, there's this article that's just come out, and it's about how women are becoming protesters and activists at numbers that far outweigh men. And it's become a bit of a trend, and we need to understand why. So the article cites lots of important research, recent examples in the news. Apparently 61 of the 80 students who were arrested during Columbia University's Gaza protests were women. 61 out of 80.
And the other 20 were just trying to get laid.
Probably. But it's part of what Quillette's article is all about, a larger pattern of women who now dominate progressive protest movements, from climate action to BLM, and this overrepresentation isn't getting the scrutiny it deserves. It continues, across the West, Gen Z women are becoming significantly more left-leaning than their male peers. In the US, young women are now 30 points more liberal than young men. And if you want to know more, radicalization, they say, is not just a male phenomenon. Defined as ideological commitment that distorts worldview and impairs functioning. It affects women too, but when women are radicalized, we tend to romanticize or ignore it, missing critical warning signs. And maybe this is also just because society doesn't take women as seriously.
Oh, pink hair, sword coming.
Yeah, but think about that. And I'm not trying to be sexist here, but maybe it's because society just doesn't take women as seriously, because the threat of violence from women is often less than the threat of violence from men. Mm. Here we go. Just Stop Oil activists block motorways. Others vandalize famous artworks. In Australia, a protester gave birth roadside after delays from a female-led traffic blockade. These are not benign disruptions. They're harmful and often ignored because the perpetrators are women. So women are both becoming the most irritating, obnoxious, and dangerous protesters, but they're also not being taken seriously at the same time. I mean, that can only lead to problems. Greta Thunberg, yeah, there she is. She's probably one of the people who started this.
Sure, well, she's the face of it, and she was at the peak of this wave.
Right, so it reveals a double standard. A teen boy urging kids to skip school would likely be punished and not be awarded Nobel nominations. The rewards women receive for radical acts create powerful incentive structures that push activism into absolutism. And Greta's a great example, right? Finally, and this is not meant to be a PowerPoint presentation. I just thought that
it's a good one there. Carry on.
There were interesting things here that we need to discuss. Intersectionality, which is the the Omni cause. This is where all victimized groups come together and feel sorry for themselves and claim all kinds of rights as a result of the fact that they feel oppressed. Intersectionality once helped identify overlapping injustices. Now it enforces, listen to this, moral conformity across unrelated causes. Deviate from the dominant view even slightly, you risk shame and social exclusion. This pressure is uniquely potent in female peer groups. And finally, moral psychology reveals why women score higher in care, fairness, and purity. They are traits that make them responsive to harm and injustice, and also vulnerable to movements demanding ideological cleanliness. Add the fear of exclusion and radical narratives take root.
Moral conformity, I like that.
Yeah.
It sums up a hell of a lot.
All right, that's enough. I can't do any more of these slides, but yes, it carries on and on.
If the dating pool has just got smaller.
That's correct.
Fuck.
So I think it's also important for us to discuss why this is happening, why it's particularly white Western women who are doing this and who are making up these numbers and who are defacing artworks and blocking roads and joining all these shitty movements.
Kind of goes back to what Ed O'Neill was saying, Al Bundy, really, is that lesbian from across the road in the show. She was good and well when she was the female in the relationship, but she got all snarky and uppity when she became the male in the relationship. I think there's this whole like dominance / power / whatever divide you want to call it, the more women step into it, the more like that they become. Yeah. I think it's a natural thing for them. That's not me saying they have no place to have an opinion. That's just me saying is that there's such an imbalance that they're changing to shitty people.
Yeah.
All the people you mentioned there, it's not an opinion. The Stop Oil, Greta Thunberg, they're shitty people.
Yeah. They're thoroughly unpleasant.
You take away women's, it's, you make shittiness.
Well, I'm recording an interview.
I wish I smarter words.
No, I'm with you. I'm recording an interview tomorrow about whether or not feminism has made women more happy.
Far less happy.
Well, I mean, you can say that, but there'll be feminists who'll argue the opposite, which
well,
is the whole point.
Well, they argue because they're unhappy.
I'm unhappy because I eat, and I eat because I'm unhappy. It's a vicious cycle. No, so I'm going to interview a woman about whether or not she thinks feminism has made women. And I'm going into it with an open mind.
What kind of hair does she have?
No, she's got normal hair.
Yeah, could be a good argument.
Probably lovely hair. She's not immediately identifiable like Solomon Galligan as a zombie or a weird blue hair.
If she had piercings about her nose and colored hair, I would say don't cancel interview.
I don't want to interview anyone who has piercings about their nose and blue hair. That instantly nature warns you with bright colors of toxic things.
Yes,
like poison frogs and poison birds and things that will try to
venomous
destroy.
And unreasonable.
Venomous, unreasonable things are always those colors. So beware. But I do find it interesting that this is how. You know, we talk about purpose and meaning. So clearly for a lot of these women, this is how they find purpose and meaning. It's by being the most obnoxious people they could possibly be. And I say these women because that's what the Quillette article is all about. It's clearly about this predominance, this overwhelming majority of these protesters and these activists who clearly want the attention. They find it valuable to have this attention. They think it gives them social cachet. For them, the best way to make the world a better place is to be loud and painful and excruciating and irritating and disrupt other people's lives as much as you can. And I think it's very, very unattractive.
But who is guiding, who or what is guiding this direction? Because
what do you mean? Like there's a magic hand?
I think there always is, Gareth. I think humans are easily led, right? And they all have intention and they all have some sort of like want for better things, for purpose, right? Like good intentions get you, like the road to hell is paved with good intentions. What guides these women towards this? This is what I want to know. Something along the way, so, I think, is quite orchestrated. I really do.
I think it's related to the zombies question, which we raised before. And we make a lot of fun of these things on the show, but I think there is such a thing as toxic compassion.
Completely.
But I
want to know, and again, this is going to
sound...
No,
I think it comes from these women themselves. I think it comes from... There are things about that about women that make them spectacular and that give them superpowers that men don't have. There are things that men can do, for example, that women can't do, but there are also things that women can do that men can't.
And together in a balance, we have this amazing existence which we should be
Absolutely.
Celebrating.
Absolutely. So the one thing women are extraordinarily good at is that their EQ is immeasurably better than ours. Their ability to empathize, their ability to show compassion, their ability to care for and nurture.
That's because guys don't see value in it. It's not that they're better at it.
Again, and now it's become almost, if you say things like this, you're some kind of old school chauvinist pig, yeah. You know? You're bringing up the fact that women are nurturers and that they're compassionate. And, you know, the feminists, for example, will say to you, oh, but those are not traits that we want. We want the traits of strength and girl bosses and all that kind of thing. We want to be taken seriously and women in the workplace and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe we've just stopped valuing some of the qualities that women and you could argue men are really good at because we want to show everybody to be the same and we want to make it possible for anyone to be and do anything without paying any attention to our natural strengths. And what can happen, and this is the point I was trying to make with the zombie earlier and that story about the woman who, though he punched her in the face, she's still showing toxic compassion to him. She sees him as an infant that she wants to nurture and make better. She wants to improve him, which is not a possibility. He's a heroin-addicted zombie.
It's not a worthwhile task. And then people like that become district attorneys.
And many other jobs, yeah. Which perhaps are not well suited to the super compassionate,
stupidly emotional.
You know, I mean, she's a special needs teacher, but who knows that after this she won't want to pursue a career in politics.
Special needs teachers are great because the special needs need to be needed and stuff.
What do you?
But don't
yeah, no, it's for like retarded kids and things.
But where are they going to go without these teachers?
Yes,
so that's great.
She's perfect for that.
So I'd like to put a roof on that.
Yes.
She can't be quoted in a court of law or have any influence outside of helping kids who need special help.
Yeah. I mean, she starts crying when she sees that mugshot. Now, if you cry at this mugshot rather than run in terror or attack it with a stick, you are super compassionate and really you are unbelievably in touch with your feelings and perhaps you are trying to help everyone on earth and you want to save the planet and everything, but you shouldn't be making public policy and you shouldn't certainly be in charge of criminal justice because to you, everything is about making everybody feel better. And the only people who should feel better are the people who don't have to bump into that guy every day.
I mean, your life is a disaster if you're trying to make everyone happy. I'm sorry. It's just always going to be.
So we've got
you'll be taken advantage of.
We've got to find something then for young girls who have everything going for them. They're at university in America, for example, and they have good families, they are pretty, they are clever, they are talented, they have everything going for them, but then something happens to make them join a Gaza or a Stop Oil or a Black Lives Matter protest. We've got to stop the rot before it happens. We've got to find a way of rescuing these young women and finding them a cause that is worthy.
It's easy. I never thought I'd say this. It's Jesus. It's as simple as that.
Really, Ben?
It's guys. At the age of 43, I know the answer here.
Flex, James, any encouragement
you
from
could,
you?
You can run an entire commonality with all of these things. They lack faith. They lack the Lord, and they lack that.
You reckon a bit of Jesus,
Gareth? It's it. And you can fight me in this all you want, but
I'm not going to. I'm fascinated.
If you go through all of society right now, everyone thinks that they can just do what they want and they'll make it out. Bullshit.
Anybody who thinks we've ever rehearsed this show is in for a big surprise today.
People,
I'm surprised as hell.
People need something that they can't ever give themselves, right? And this is what happens. This is why religion to its
core. Say that again.
People
need something they can't give themselves.
Of course, because a lot of people are fucking disasters. You give someone time and whatever, they all fuck it up. Majority of the people. And people always think that like religion, all these kind of things, it's nice to have, you know, I'll tap in here or I'll have a go there. But then you open yourself up to all this other bullshit. You lose your grounding, you lose your direction in life. Nothing's ever going to be perfect, right? You have to make some sacrifices and you have to be part of a play sheet somewhere along the line. If you were to guide more young women towards that, we'd have a happier world. Guarantee you.
So Jesus.
I'm all open for everyone else has got some other miracle thing, but
let's see what's happening in the comments. I just don't think that there's a better, your mind.
I don't think there's a better answer. And I've given this much thought of my entire life.
I'm thrilled at your conclusion. So Wade agrees with you. Hugh says, whoa, that's an extremely 1950s mindset. Are we reverting back to the 50s now?
Oh, so you got something better to say? So who is, get these people up here.
That's,
because all they'll do is,
okay, that's from Strayer Mate 19. Oh. All right, put Hugh up there and then we can see what all this noise is about. Women belong at home, raise the kids, clean, cook, etc. Perfect job for a compassionate person. Well,
okay, can we refrain from using belong?
Okay, but let's just park that for a second because I do think it's worth some introspection. In the family, an abundance of compassion, particularly for the most vulnerable member of the family, is an extremely powerful thing and is to be applauded, and it is laudable in every way, right? So if there's a child, the runt of your family litter, who really needs a lot of help, that is where you need that kind of compassion, because otherwise that child is going to fall very far behind. And you don't want that in a family. You want everybody to do well. You want to look after everyone, even little Timmy or whatever it is in the family, right? So that's where you need that. But in society, we've got to be super careful about this, because if you are constantly trying to pull up the most terrible people like that zombie and trying to bring them up to standard, you slow down the whole project of society to a degree where nothing works anymore, because we're so busy being compassionate to people who absolutely don't care about anybody but themselves,
sure, exactly,
that you break it down. So again, I don't think Hugh's right here. I don't like what he says about belong, just like you don't, Ben, but I do think there's something about being compassionate and the family that is very good.
Well, can I just make a tiny change here, which will change everything. So yeah. Huge G erection here says, women belong at home, raise the kids, clean, cook, etc. Perfect job for a compassionate person. Women thrive at home. They really do.
Oh, this is going to get us into so much trouble.
Women do thrive at home. If they want to go further from that, amazing. If they want to then become the world's best architect, all these kind of things, incredible, because they're adding to society, right? But a lot of women thrive in a place where they're going to feel secure, happy, and have some sort of meaning. And again, you can try find the perfect solution here, but a home is a pretty good one. I'm not saying it's the best, but in the absence of the silver bullet to all these things, which doesn't exist, there are still things that actually make sense in life.
Danny says, cue zombie pick. They haven't had enough, James. Show it again.
Stop showing this fucking guy's face.
I'm not very religious, says Ricky, but I agree with Ben.
Neither was I, Ricky, ever. I mean, I'll never throw this down anyone's throat, but in a time where we are looking for solutions, we are looking for answers to the numerous amount of fuckery out there, it's a pretty good one.
Parallel Parking says, the family disappeared with the gift of a cell phone to the kids. With a swipe of the thumb, the parent lost all authority. I don't know. I know some parents who are doing a pretty good job of keeping their kids off of devices until at least the age of 14, 15.
Which is the hard choice to make.
It's hard to do because they're not going to, their friends are all going to have phones and social media and everything.
It's a popular thing to do.
You've got to keep your child off of that. I think that's clear to anyone who really loves their children. You just can't. Toki Ramelson says, "You guys, you are in trouble." Why?
Maybe because you said we're going to get in trouble.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Great. You come up with your own ideas, Toki. Vyasan says, that guy, the zombie's face, is a reminder to brush your teeth and put on your lotion. Signet says, Ben is giving words of wisdom. Now tell us about Lamine Yamal and the dwarves.
Yeah, so Lamine Yamal.
What's that all about?
So he's like that super, super young dude. He plays for Barcelona. He's 18. Plays for Spain. He's like one of the world's best footballers, and he's 18 now.
Yeah?
So he had a birthday party, and he hired dwarves.
That's great.
I know, but now he's getting like hold over the coals for being like insensitive, whatever.
Let me tell you.
He wanted dwarves and hang midges on. At his birthday.
There are so few jobs going for dwarves at the moment. I mean, the last Snow White, they didn't even hire dwarves. There are 7 job applications there for dwarves. Now, if you're a dwarf, and I don't know about you, but I don't see that many dwarves around.
That almost feels racist.
There are fewer dwarves.
How do you not hire a dwarf
exactly,
for a dwarf role?
It seems absolutely crooked.
Yeah.
So stupid Disney decided to make this terrible version with that ugly girl and the Gal Gadot, and it's just terrible, right? The Snow White and the 7 dwarves. Snow White and the 7 dwarves, and they don't have dwarves.
What do they call them? 7 helpers?
No, well, they were like 7 magical people or something, but they were all AI generated.
They sound dangerous. Magical
CGI.
People, they steal.
CGI.
Magical people travel a lot and steal.
Magical people like gypsies. Anyway, the point is... You didn't have 7 jobs for 7 would-be dwarves there. So these dwarves have got to find other ways to make money.
They can't all be Peter Dinklage.
Do you think? Yeah, exactly. And also, just by the way, there isn't some dwarf charity handing out money to dwarves. They have to work
like
everyone
else. Well,
go through
the USAID things. I'm sure we'll find one in there somewhere.
Well, I don't know if dwarves are their priority. James, Flex, do you support dwarves? See? Listen to that nonsense.
You've got to get a microphone in there. Just
listen to
a
that
basic
nonsense.
One.
Blah, blah, blah. I didn't even hear Flex there. James went, moo, moo, moo.
Because he was so
Flex,
disappointed.
Do you support any dwarves? Yeah. No. They're good people, he says. But you don't pay for any of them.
No,
he doesn't. You see? So when a famous footballer, I didn't know the story until this morning, says he needs dwarves at a party because they're at the perfect height for putting a drink down on a tray.
I know, you've always said this, yeah.
It's perfect. I've been to a party where there were dwarves. Everyone had a wonderful time. The dwarves.
Dwarves
us,
too, they got paid.
It was great. They earned money. So with a sudden decrease in available jobs for dwarves, thanks to woke Disney, they've got to work. And this footballer is doing, talk about activism and doing great things. What a cause to support. What an absolute humanitarian
example.
This guy is a philanthropist helping one of the uncoolest groups who've just fallen out of favor by all these people who are trying to help all the time. I still care about you dwarves, even if all these activists who are worried about carbon dioxide, they don't care about you. Do you know how much more carbon dioxide there is down there than there is up here? Because carbon dioxide is heavier. It sinks. So the dwarves are the biggest sufferers from global warming. I don't hear Greta Thunberg protesting for dwarves.
So true.
Selfish, selfish Greta Thunberg.
But on the whole thing with that Greta Thunberg fucking person, why isn't she peddling her stupid boat to China and going to tell them what to do?
It's not cool. You get more attention for Gaza and for climate change. Well, can I tell you what? That all these narratives are falling apart. It's actually great. What an awesome time to be alive. The LGBTQ thing is just falling apart. No one's interested in the last part of that. The L's and G's and B's aren't even interested in what the T's want anymore.
I always thought that the L's and G's and B's...
They have nothing in common.
They were at the front lines for this for so long.
Sure, and then they suddenly were being lumped in with men who wear dresses.
On a whim.
Yeah, outrageous. Yeah. Anyway, so that's falling apart. The climate change thing's falling apart. You know, people who've done really great work in this arena, like Bjorn Lomborg and, you know, so many others, Marion Tupi, who I've spoken to on the show. It's just not a thing. And if you look at the graph of carbon dioxide emissions by China, and you compare it to countries like Britain, Britain are tying themselves in knots about zero emissions. But the British contribution to the total amount of carbon dioxide in the air is so tiny. Your car is probably creating more carbon dioxide than 6 British homes. Okay, so they're doing... China is like this. Britain's like that.
Mm.
But the people in Britain are so worried about climate change. So it's falling apart all over the world. And we're realizing more and more that fossil fuels, you know, it's carbon is like the water cycle. Do you remember doing the water cycle at school?
Yes. It always came back to
a certain amount of water around and on and in planet Earth, in the atmosphere, in the ground, and in rivers and dams and the sea. Okay, and you can't, it's almost like energy. You cannot create or destroy energy. You can only transfer it. And the same is true for carbon dioxide. All carbon. So you can't create carbon from anything. It's already in the system, whether it's in fossil fuels, whether it's in trees. Remember, whether it's in the air, a tree itself is made from air, and it makes itself from carbon dioxide it pulls out of the air. So something is going to exchange that carbon at some point. What makes you think human beings are going to change that process so significantly that we'll disrupt the carbon cycle? You have to have unbelievable hubris or stupidity to believe that.
Well, it's a fine combination of both, because ultimately people are just trying to busy themselves to make themselves look better.
That's it.
Deep down, they know they're not doing anything.
Busy buddies.
They do fuck all.
So climate change is falling apart. The LGBT thing's falling apart. Communism has, I mean, we have to keep fighting this fight, but it's always stupid.
So think about
always like, disproven.
I watched this series in the plane. It was about spies in England.
Oh, yeah.
And this whole commie thing has been around forever. Like they've been trying to recruit people since the 30s in universities and probably even beyond that. But ultimately, the one thing that always comes out is that it's always a bad idea.
James, that clip of that guy talking about this? Yeah, I sent it to you yesterday. Look at this guy. He kind of hits the nail on the head. Why do you think it's so popular among young people in South Africa?
Soft
this commie shit. Okay, so here it is. Here's the answer. Not from me, but from...
Tell you one thing. Capitalism sells you a dream. Sells you a dream of self-independence, sells you a dream of self-determination and success. Communism does one thing. It taps into your struggle. Hence, it's very easy to resonate with communism. Mm. It taps into your psychological struggle. And, you know, it's very easy to connect with the situation that you are feeling at the moment.
Mm.
But because capitalism is a dream. It's something you've got to envision. South Africans lack vision. Hence, you see us tilting towards a communist society.
Spot on.
Right. I mean, I can't disagree with that, guys. He's hit the nail on the head. That's also why it keeps appealing to dumb people who have no vision.
But also, your struggle is your path or where it goes, right? It doesn't define what you are or what you're not. I guess it's also just fucking stupid.
But if you don't have a future and you can't see a future for yourself, then all you can do is grumble about the past and try to make your immediate present as bearable as possible. And the way you do that is either by being bitter and resentful and jealous and envious of everyone around you and trying to acquire what is not yours by tearing down what is others, or you join the Communist Party. I suppose that's what you do. Become an organizer.
It's just a very odd thing for anyone to want to aspire towards. Like if you're a young guy, maybe frame it like this. If you're looking to impress a girl, and you had two conversations you had to go at her with. One was communism and how you're going to amount to nothing and how you're very upset about shit. Or if you were to tell her what you're going to become and the cool things you're going to have and the great things you're going to do, which would you go for if you want to try pick up a girl? And when you realize the answer every single time is where you're going to go, what you're about, great you are, why not put that back into the rest of your stupid fucking life and realize just how dumb you are?
Bitcoin Butt says, Flex, see if you can find this. Look up the guy who's running for mayor of Minneapolis. He looks like a zombie too. His name is Omar Fateh. He's a Somalian. I know a little bit about him, but see if you can find a picture. Matthew says, Pakistan light, I mean England, needs a refresher of their identity. Well, the Brits are just, I mean, that country is just such an embarrassment at the moment. Harmin says we should name our cause Dwarf Lives Matter. I think that's a far more valuable cause
make
for us.
Make part of the franchise, guys. Just make there we it are. Part of the franchise.
More carbon is created in one volcano in 1 week than we all create in years. We actually need more carbon. Plants love it. Again, parallel parking, not wrong. Where do dwarves shop for clothes, asks Wade. I don't know. Kids section?
Well, if they had money, there would be a shop. But
they
not
can't
getting,
even get jobs.
They're not getting jobs.
Yeah.
Because people are upset.
Yeah, because of evil, woke Disney.
Greta squatting over a fucking volcano as well to stop the carbon coming out.
Do you want Greta squatting over
Go for a it.
Okay, then I'm sure Gimli would take the offer, says Chase. Well, again, the guy who played Gimli wasn't a dwarf, and he's dead. So a role for a dwarf. Went to a normal person. A normal size human. See? No one's talking about this. People have fallen off the dwarf bandwagon. They're no longer... There's no compassion for these people. No. It's all for climate change and, you know, Gaza. No one's out there on the street, as Ben said, squatting over volcanoes to make a point about dwarves. How's the dwarf porn scene in Madagascar? That's a thing? Okay. Kampfdwerg for president.
I'm not Googling that.
I'm not either.
James.
If I was Snow White, I would not feel safe around seven little people in a forest. Well, would you prefer to be around that zombie guy? Put him up again. Show her. Show parallel of whoever that was complaining about that. Sure. Would you rather be in the town and have that guy walking around outside your house? Sure. Replace the word capitalism with the words free market economy. We need to have our... But first, we need to free our market. Yeah, I do agree. Okay, take that guy off. It's horrible to look at. Yes, I do agree. A free market economy is the basic building block for what eventually leads to the best version of capitalism. And I do want to caution people who think that they can put capitalism and communism on the same distribution. They aren't even opposing systems in some ways. The opposite of communism really is free marketeering. It's free market system. It's the idea that if I want to transact with Ben, I can name a price and he can decide whether that's a worthy price and we can debate it and he can walk away if he doesn't like it and I can walk away if his product is shit. That's how free market stuff works. The opposite of that is communism. It's where the government decides what the price of everything is. And they try to manipulate the economy and socially engineer the society alongside it, which is obviously very, very dangerous. But in so many ways, the problem that people have with capitalism is that they're confusing the best outcomes of capitalism with corporatism. Mm. And we have a lot of corporatism in South Africa where the government is in cahoots with big corporations, and we know this, and with trade unions, and we know this, and that's where so much of our pain comes from as a country. It really makes it very difficult for ordinary people to make a living and to break out of poverty, because that's not what capitalism affords you. Proper capitalism is the greatest force to pull people out of poverty in modern history. And it's not even close, as Donald Trump would say. It's not even close. Gimli was just normal washing. Is that like when someone who isn't white plays a black role, or yes. Someone who... Okay. That's what that is. Dwarf Lives Matter. I blame Crooked Hillary. I don't know what she has to do with this.
Well, she's never been very complimentary about dwarves.
Already?
What's she done for them?
I didn't know. So Hillary has a problem with dwarves then. Okay. There was a whole series where the dwarf was the star of the show. I think it was called Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Oh, there he is. Okay, so there's Omar Fateh. I got to ask you, like, is there a look that... Are all Somalians related? Or is there a look?
That's just their look.
It's like a look, right? You take a look at pretty much, and I don't want to be disparaging particularly about the Somalian. Maybe they do all have the same very, very strong ancestry or genes. But
that's just their look.
Somalians look like Somalians, right? You wouldn't ever mistake.
It's a definite
look. You don't think that guy's from the Eastern Cape. You don't think that guy's from Ghana. You don't think that guy's from Guinea-Bissau. You just know he's Somalian. Yeah, but,
okay,
right?
So why is that? Because okay, it's the east coast of Africa. There's going to be some Arabic influence.
Yeah, but I've seen, you know what a Kenyan looks like, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a generalization about that. But you know what a Maasai Kenyan looks like? They've got a very particular look. But that guy looks like you wouldn't mistake him.
But is that because they've been seafaring people for so long?
I don't know what it is. It's Somalian. That's how the Somalians.
But this
look.
Is the beautiful thing about history and societies and people.
So what? Who was it who told us? Was it Bitcoin Butt who said that? He says it's Ilhan Omar's brother stroke husband. Well, you talk about it being one happy family, right? But the reality is, like, Ilhan Omar, who is also Somalian, who's an American congresswoman, she kind of looks like that guy too. But maybe he could be her brother. You don't know. Because she did apparently marry her brother for some visa fraud that was being conducted by one or both of them. So,
well, I mean, I guess it's
I'm
worse.
Not saying that she's sleeping with him. She's just, there was something dodgy that
yeah,
happened.
I mean, I guess it's worse than marrying your best friend from high school at an all-boys school like Macron.
No. Chris Holmes can't believe that guy from Somalia doesn't have a machete. That's not, you see, that is you watching too many of those pirate movies. I'm the captain now. But he does look like that guy. There. Look, see? Compare that picture, right, with the guy who's running for mayor of Minneapolis. Let's go there. One. There's number one. And put up number two. Where's the other one? There he is. See, it's the same guy.
Different diets, but ultimately quite similar.
Yeah, the one guy's a bit thinner because he's still in Somalia.
He's at sea.
This guy was actually born, by the way, in Washington State in America.
Well, testament again to the Western world. Look how much better you can look.
I mean, look at how he's healthy.
Yeah.
That's not healthy, right? More zombie-ish.
No, very low protein.
Yeah. He looks like the I'm the captain now guy, says Melissa. Yes, Melissa, we've just gone over that, but thank you for your contribution. Malnutrition as a youngster, says Mike. Is that what it is? Well, I always remember as a kid, if we didn't eat our food, my mother would say, there are Somalians who don't have food. You should be grateful and you should finish your supper. It was like a tacit threat. Not even so tacit with my mother, usually followed by
Was it Bob Dylan who told our parents that?
Bob Geldof.
Bob Geldof, sorry.
Yeah, do they know it's Christmas time at all?
Yeah,
I think starving. It was Bob Geldof. They'd show the pictures of the kids with the Kwashiorkor's disease and the vultures circling around them. And
such a downer of a Christmas.
It was a proper, it really, but meant to upset us and make and remind us how lucky we were that we weren't in Somalia. But, I mean, I don't want to be piling onto Somalia this morning, but it is still a total clusterfuck of a country. Okay, Mogadishu is... There are very few buildings that have roofs in Mogadishu. If you go into, just do yourself a favor. Don't believe me. Go onto Google Earth, which is a terrific resource.
It really is.
And do a little flyover, which you can do on Google Earth, of Mogadishu. What you will find is it is mostly pulverized concrete, rock, and uninhabitable wasteland. It's a total disaster. There are a few buildings in certain places, but up to like the last 5 or 6 years, and they've only rebuilt certain parts of it at great expense and usually from piracy. But it's not a great place. Okay, the Mogadishu is the capital of Somalia. Technically, Somalia is also still in anarchy. In other words, they don't really have a sitting government. There are no rules. There are no courts, as I understand it. And the place is easily one of the worst places in the world to live, which is why you will meet Somalians all over the rest of the world.
Loads.
Okay, so you'll meet lots of them in South Africa. And believe me, I'm not in any way anti-Somalians, because in South Africa, there are many Somalians who are running informal markets, shops. They're trying to make a living. They're being productive. Whether or not you believe in legal and illegal immigration, that's a whole different debate, but you cannot deny that the Somalians are productive people and they get stuck in and they try to make a living wherever they are. What you've got to ask is why they leave Somalia, and the reason for that is because Somalia is a disaster. It is easily one of the worst places in the world to live. And it's worth reflecting on this. It's worth looking at why it's a disaster. It's why at least decades now, perhaps even longer, there's been no reason for anyone to want to stay there. If you can get out, you go. And that's usually not a good sign.
See, I sometimes get it confused with Ethiopia. That's not as bad.
Ethiopia is not a disaster at all.
Yeah. They've got a good airline. They've got stuff on the go. It's fine.
And then Chomotso says Ethiopians and Somalians look alike. I don't think so. Maybe I'm just full of shit and superficial. Black Hawk Down was the peak of the Mogadishu economy, says Danny Archer. Where exactly is this mega doo-doo? No, Mogadishu. Look it up. Don't get Somalia confused with Somaliland, Gareth. They're different countries, each with their own junta. No, Slippery Pickle, I am definitely talking about old school Somalia. Somaliland is just a tiny little strip on the Horn of Africa, which is up for grabs. And actually, it's not Somalia as much as it is Ethiopia and Eritrea that are fighting over that. Chomotso, says Danny. Zulus, Xhosas, Sutus, Tswanas, Vendas all look alike to me. Uh-oh, now we're going down a dirty path. Mike Hunt says, now put the orange jumpsuit guy up. Okay, put him up again. Mike wants it.
No.
Mike, there he is. I want you to have bad dreams, Ben. This is why I'm doing this. I want you and everybody else in the audience to have bad dreams.
You're not going to win, unfortunately.
Take it off now.
Too much
That's
good
enough.
There's too much good We've in me to worry about
them
that.
Enough.
We really look good on the set today, huh? Look at us.
All the brown and, yeah, there's a lot of brown.
Very warm.
We didn't coordinate this, but we like it. The brown works perfectly. There are children in Africa who are starving. They would love your Brussels sprouts. Yes, KP, that's what my mother used to say.
No, they wouldn't. They won't fuck it. They want your macaroni cheese and stuff. They don't want bullshit like Brussels sprouts.
Well, I don't think they had much choice in those days, Ben. Which is why guys like that guy who's running for mayor of Minneapolis, his parents fled Somalia because they couldn't find anything. There was nothing to eat. Zero. There was rock, old rock, freshly blown to shit rock, and sand. And you had your choice. What texture would you like today? You'd get to the canteen, there'd be four bowls with different textures of rock, and you'd have to choose. So, well, I feel like splurging a little for the kids. I think I'm going to choose some fine sand. And then, you know, the poorer people, they'd have to break the rock themselves. They'd have to, sometimes on their teeth, sometimes against another rock. Not very nutritious. And you and I sit here now wondering about what we're going to have for supper. Gareth seems in love with this zombie guy. He keeps wanting to show his face. Nunya, you have misread me. Some people need excuses, victimhood, and they need to compensate or do the heavy lifting for their own shortcomings as a good human being. Some just need excuses, says Tracy. Yeah. I think a lot of people are looking for excuses.
Of course.
And sometimes they also have a lot of... it's almost like a schadenfreude. Like if they can find someone who's worse than them and then look like they're helping. You know, it's like the people who want to appear to be good people on social media. You find a lot of that these days, is the people who will immediately jump in on some horrible human situation, an earthquake or a hurricane or a massacre or school shooting
Oprah's
or whatever.
Oprah's fire in Hawaii.
Yeah, and they will, Oprah's fire in Hawaii, they'll get involved because it's easy pickings for people who are compensation farmers. I mean, not compensation, compassion farmers. If you're the kind of person who gets a thrill out of other people thinking you're nice, then whenever bad things happen, those are the people who change their profile picture or say, I'm praying for this, or, oh, I feel so bad. These poor people in that earthquake in Bangladesh, because it costs nothing and you get maximum clout from idiots. So you can pick these people out from a mile away.
Yeah, but that's like getting 1,000 altcoins of, like, I don't know, cabinet coin. It's got no value.
Yeah, speaking of which, our president is going, he's very busy with his G20. When does it actually happen?
November.
Is it only in November?
So I got these stupid fucking bus lanes outside of our business complex here.
Oh, okay. I thought it was now and it would be over with soon.
No, it's
November. Is it only in November? Check that, James.
Oh, yeah, so November, because we need the rains
ruin
to clean
our Christmas.
The streets. No, I mean, obviously they'll be done by Christmas.
So we had to do what? Get the vagrants to clean the streets?
No, I mean November, so we get the rain to clean the streets a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Can't do it in winter. This place looks like Somalia.
Is that now a version of like how shit it could get? Somalia.
Flying in yesterday morning, I realized for the first time I was in the Qatar Airways, and the window's got a film on it now. Mm. So you actually don't see out. It's like this dark blue. And you get different tints of it.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either because I want to see outside.
Yes.
So it's this blue tint. I was like, this is weird. It's like 7:30. The sun's up by now. No, it's a heavy blue tint. And then you get to Joburg and it's like it's brown and yellow.
Brown, yeah. It's the color of our jerseys and jackets.
If you're not used to it, you look down there and go, this is
brown.
Somalia.
Can be summed up as don't be mean, shame, Grace says. Yeah, anybody who says shame, also, again, you've got to be careful. There are toxic, compassionate people.
I don't understand. I think I've said this before. The whole South African thing around when people say shame. It's like, oh, shame. Like, what? Is there something wrong with him? No, it's just like, shame. Why? You know the reason, the meaning of the word shame.
I don't know why people do it. Tell me like, why you think people do it.
You hear it all the time. Like the other day, I was at the golf course, and my mate says, oh, shame, you know, that's my boss's son. So I said, well, does he have cancer? Like, why are you saying shame? It's like, no, I mean, he's a nice guy. It's just shame. He came over and said hi. So again, is he a felon? Does he have Tourette's?
Is he shameful? Because like, the word means the word means. I mean, if you say shame, what you mean is that person should be ashamed.
Yes.
Of something. So it doesn't make sense to me on that basis. What have they done that they should be so ashamed of? So guy is trying to kidnap a child and punches women in the face?
Or like if someone does something nice, you go, oh, shame. You know, he's such a nice guy. Did he molest you before he was nice to you? Why are you saying shame? Fuck.
Okay, but people don't think when they say that.
We all are friends.
I've probably said, oh, shame. Poor old whoever.
But that's because there's something's wrong with that person.
Well, or they really cuck with like women, or they, you know, they don't have any
something
skills.
Hasn't gone well.
Well, yeah, they're poor and they've been unfortunate in business. And I go, oh, shame. Poor old Tony, you know?
Well, that's correct. Sure.
That's when you should use it.
Yes.
But the way these people that you're complaining about use it.
It's just stupid.
I think, again, it's almost like a cheap way of seeming like a nice person.
That's exactly it.
And we've got to expunge this cheap way of seeming like a nice person stuff. I think it's doing us damage. It's actually hurting the fabric of society because when you have people who are chasing clout in terms of empathy, it just leads to enormous trouble. It does not lead to a good place. It ruins children. It ruins relationships. It ruins families. It ruins the workplace. It can be very, very dangerous. And it's not just women who do this. There are also guys who climb on this bandwagon, guys who are either sincere about it because they're you know, there are some very empathetic guys who, I don't know, they become nurses or whatever. And then you get guys who are pretending because they use it to get close to women and victimize them. This happens. So we've got to stop this stuff. It's very, very bad. By the way, what does the heart button do in the comments section? I don't know. Press it. Let's see what happens. Maybe you blow up the show. If he presses the heart button, oh, my God. That's what it brings up. Okay. Now look what you've done. I'm really bad with women. Are you going to say shame, Kali? Yeah, shame, Kali.
Yeah, shame, Kali, because things aren't going well.
Shame.
So we're giving pity. We're having pity on your plight.
Yeah. It's shameful the way some people use shame, says Parallel Parking. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Danny Archer says, ugh, shame, man. And then Grace says, shame is useful. Some people really need to be ashamed. Well, we've discussed this before. We're not going there again this morning. Oh, my God, it's 8 o'clock. We have to go. Shame. What a shame.
All right.
Shameful. Thank you, Ben.
I'm actually here all day today doing a whole bunch of other shows.
Oh, okay, very good.
But good stuff coming up on the Bounce Show.
Tell us.
Some of you fuckers that actually watch that have come to my opinion.
Yeah, all right. So actually,
this is it. Every week we hear.
So actually, Ben was only here to shit on you.
Shame on you.
Shame on you. Shame.
On
we
the
need the shame
show,
bell.
Every Thursday right here, Real Network, 4 p.m.
Right. I mean,
this week, example, we've got an absolute all-time golf bro show. CZ James, OG Molefe and I.
Okay.
Then we've got Vela Ulafia talking Super Rugby Prime.
Right.
I'm going to be in a Bulls jersey. He won't be.
That's fantastic.
And that's just what I'm recording today.
How amazing.
Got John Smith coming in soon. Talk about World Cups.
I mean, it couldn't be a better time to do this.
It's a very exciting time.
So if you haven't already, go and like and subscribe to the channel and also follow On The Bounce and follow the show on social media. You won't be sorry.
I learned things on that show.
There we go. And Ben thinks he knows everything. Keeps learning new things. Very exciting. All right. Cheers, everybody. Bye.